With Multiview from Xfinity, you can watch up to 4 football games at once, which can lead to some tough choices.
French toast nibblers or breakfast nachos?
Actually, I was thinking about heading out only because I want to beat the traffic.
The best part of the sleepover is the next day. I was going to throw the games on.
Bobby Big Wheels.
I mean, how can you call yourself a sports fan without Xfinity? We got the Multiview.
The best college and pro games all in one place.
I'm not going anywhere.
This is how football was meant to be watched. Xfinity. Imagine that. Restrictions apply. Multiview requires Xfinity 4K capable TV box.
The Gunnar Stockton I've seen so far this season is not the guy that I saw in the playoff. So, big time atmosphere, going on the road, obviously one of the toughest places to play in the country. How does he play?
What is up, everybody? Thanks for hopping in on the Wednesday edition of Crane & Company. It's Picks Day. All right, and you know, we're not bringing in any old guests to come in here and help us make picks. Did we have a great weekend? Last weekend, when it comes down to it, yeah. Were the locks, leans, and dogs absolutely on fire? Yeah. Did your boy go 6-0? I don't know. Maybe at the end of the day. Yeah, I did. But nobody's bragging about
that. Now
we
know.
But our guest today, C-Ball Get Ball Pod. Yeah. C-Ball Get Ball Pod. He would see the ball and go get the ball when he played, I promise. One of the best guys around that you'll find, our buddy.
Come on.
David Paul.
Keep it, buddy.
What's up, dog?
Appreciate that, guys. 6-0, and you didn't get your flowers. That's amazing.
Nobody ever gives them to me.
He gives them himself.
Because I've got
day,
to.
David.
Sometimes you got to go out and tell the
it's
people what you're doing for them.
Every time.
No, it's not.
You want to know how the amount of times he brought up SMU last year?
I'll never not
after
bring
they
it up.
Made the playoff. It
Let UNLV make it this year. Let them make it this year. You'll never hear the end of it. But DB, no. Locks, Leans, and Dogs combined, we were like, it was like 14-4 or something like that. Hit 3 parlays this weekend. It was a good weekend, but hey.
Let's go.
We're on to Cincinnati, all right?
We're on to Cincinnati.
Like North Carolina was on to Charlotte. We're on to Cincinnati. David Cohn, former Michigan quarterback to my left. Blaine Crane, former Western State Colorado wide receiver to my right. All right, I want to start off with a big one. All right, we're going to get to Georgia-Tennessee here a little bit later. I want to start off with Florida at LSU. And something we talked about when we talked about the preview was, if you're an LSU fan, you did not want South Florida to beat Florida. And Cohn brought up a great point. You're probably going to get the best version of Florida with their backs against the wall, on the road, circle the wagons. Everybody's going against Billy now. I mean, DP, when you just look at the personnel in this game, I'm still shocked Florida's game plan defensively to not take away the short to intermediate throw from South Florida and truly make them one-dimensional, which they weren't able to do. But when you look at this game, I mean, how do you feel either way? Is it a bounce back for Florida, or is LSU going to continue to pile up this momentum?
Well, there's some good motivation and a revenge factor too for LSU last year.
For sure.
So that's a good thing as well. But you want your team to be flying high. But man, how disappointing was Florida last week? Like To watch them only score 16 points, to watch them kind of get conservative near the end of the game and then say, oh, never mind, now we're not going to be conservative and kind of – and then the 15-yard penalty late in the game, it felt weird. It felt awkward. It felt different. I thought they had turned the corner from those mistakes.
Yeah.
But LSU obviously didn't set the world on fire offensively. I think we also got to go, okay, this is the time of year, and we can do this with another pick coming up, I'd imagine. Like, we got to look back and go, okay, is Clemson as good as we thought they were either?
For sure.
And so now when we're trying to pick LSU and look at how good LSU is, I love the weapons. I love Green at tight end, who's, 6'17" out wide that they're gonna isolate and try to throw jump balls to. You love Nussmeier. I trust LSU a lot more than I trust Florida, even though they've got some motivation and they've got some negativity, which last year, man, they fed off of, and they were unbelievable with their backs to the wall and they played great.
Well, yeah, and to your point, DP, I mean, we kept Clemson out of our top 15 power rankings this week because they've looked so, especially offensively, so inept. And you go back and look at Troy. As far as LSU versus La Tech, like we said, a hangover still hurts even if you got laid. That's the way I feel about it. That's what we say. Sometimes it's hard after a big win to get guys up to get going, but LSU did not look great. But, Coney, I mean, this conservative play calling from Florida, like, how shocked were you that at this point with Billy Napier, with what happened last year, that you're not going out there and trying to do everything possible to win every game regardless
of
who
you're playing. I'm more surprised that they couldn't beat South Florida even with more conservative play calling. But it does seem like a perfect recipe. Or like I said, I think LSU is going to get the best version of Florida with their backs against the wall already in week three. That may not be the case for an opponent in week eight. Who knows what happens by them? You could have a Florida team that's already fired their head coach and maybe they've kind of quit on the team a little bit. Hopefully not for Gators fans, but I think LSU is going to get the best version of Florida. And then on the LSU side, as great as they looked in week one, how much of that was just them hearing all offseason about how they had no chance to beat Clemson? They go out there and beat Clemson, a team that hasn't even looked great since then. Do they have that same sort of energy to go out week in and week out and win football?
Well, this is a verify game, right? Yeah. Like verify yourself. Not saying that Florida's a bunch of world beaters or as good as some thought they were, but DP, this is you have to show me who you really are in week three to be able to let me feel good about having you guys. We had them number two in our rankings. You need to look like it.
And that's okay. You should have them number two when they do something like that. But then this is what people get caught in, just like with gambling or whatever your stuff is. Like you look at 1 week. Don't look at 1 week. We're starting to get more data. Just like Virginia Tech and
Vandy. Sure.
Yep. Like now I've got data points with South Carolina against Virginia Tech and Vandy against Virginia Tech. Vandy took a frying pan and said, eat that in the whole second half and rattled off 30 straight and made them look silly. South Carolina, I don't know. I know y'all are going to probably get here, but I'm worried about South Carolina.
Mike Shula
and company.
100%.
I mean, offensive coordinator is like, it's still developing, still growing, but they had 258 yards last week. They had 17 points against Illinois. They looked okay against Virginia Tech. Now, the special teams has been really good. The defense has been probably better than I thought it would be, replacing so many guys. But like they've got to run the football outside of Lenora Sellers. It can't be him every time in a big play in a big moment.
I actually want to get to that game next because I think there's going to be a lot of crossover with how we feel. But Blaine, why don't you start us off with the official pick for Florida LSU?
Yeah.
Who are you going with? Give me a score.
There's quickly a couple things. One, the spread. I believe the spread started out at 9.5.
Uh-huh.
That's where I saw it first. Right now it's laying +7.5 Florida.
Okay.
Money laying Florida. Florida money line's +225 with an over under of 48.5. And you brought something up, David, and I want to go ahead, Pollock, and say that Trey Des Green, the tight end for LSU, is listed probably out.
Really?
Versus Florida. He has a sprained MCL that happened against South Florida, I believe. So I don't know if Trey Des Green is playing.
Or against La Tech.
That's
against
a big
La Tech,
deal.
Excuse me. And that's their guy.
He's a matchup nightmare.
That's their
guy. I don't know what
guy.
You do with
so
that guy.
It's kind of understandable why this spread's going down. I'm taking LSU in this football game. I've been on the bandwagon of LSU being number one team in the country. I think this game's going to be closer than what a lot of people think. I think Florida's going to come out to play. And they have athletes. We all know that. But I think this game being at Death Valley at 6:30, one of, if not the toughest place to play in college football. I think it's close, but I think Garrett Nussmeier is a difference in this game. Give me LSU score-wise. Give me LSU 24, Florida 17.
Yeah, I'm with you on the low scoring. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not betting this game. I'm not touching this game from a gambling standpoint. I'm going to stay 10 feet away from it. I do like LSU just because it's hard for me to trust Florida offensively right now to just flip that switch and all of a sudden start being super explosive against an LSU defense that I thought looked as good as anybody in the country from a maturity standpoint, from a gap assignment standpoint, and from being sound and not playing over emotional cone. I've got LSU 27-17 in this game, but I will not bet it.
Well, if all of us take LSU, that's the best recipe for Florida to win this
100%.
Game. 100%.
Do it.
But based off what I've seen, I'm going to stand by LSU right now, and I've got 28-24.
Yeah. Okay.
Pollock,
okay.
What do you got, man?
Pollock,
what do you got? You going to make it
Pollock.
A quartet is four?
That does always seem like the kiss of death. But I don't think LSU's void of weapons, man. Thomas has been fun to watch that they move him in the backfield and give him the rock. Anderson can freaking fly. Like, you better affect the quarterback and you better make it hard on him. Like, I like LSU. I like what I've seen from their defense. Whit Weeks is a freaking baller. Like, I want all the Whit Weeks stocks I can buy. Like, he's a guy that when he blitzes and he's supposed to be in a gap, he reads it and he'll gap out and go make a play. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that's a football player. Like, a lot of people are robots and like, cavemen like me. See ball, get ball, barbarian. Yeah. He's just such a good football player with such great instincts. So, I like LSU as well.
Can you just imagine starting linebacker with
your brother playing with you? I can't.
And then the other one's Harold Perkins. Like, I saw them
get a
sack together. like the brothers, yeah, that went up and celebrated. You know how just absolute, like, that has to be the coolest shit ever.
That best man speech is going to hit so hard.
That has to be.
It's going to hit so hard. All right, so we're all taking LSU. Look, we all took Oklahoma, and it worked out. But, DP, you brought up a very interesting one. And we started here on this show, really since Virginia Tech, to kind of sound the alarm about South Carolina a little bit, not let people get too far ahead of their skis. I think they got the capability to be a damn good team because of Lenora Sellers and Dylan Stewart and Nicholas Harbor. You brought up the defense. That was my question when you lose six out of a front seven that finished fourth in the SEC. But it's the offensive line. Lenoris is still running for his life. And I don't care how big you are, how strong you are. Cam Newton's the only one I've ever seen be able to get away with it. But even he wasn't running for his life behind that offensive line. I mean, South Carolina, to me, they're like the chick you see, like I said yesterday, when you walk in the bar from far away. In certain light angles, she looks really good. In other ones, you're not sure. I just don't know yet. We just got to walk up and see her.
Well, a lot of times you just got to have a few drinks, and that'll change the way she looks,
that's
too.
That's a second-half team.
But we saw this last year, too, with South Carolina. They started slow, especially offensively, and they clicked and they kicked it in gear. So that's the thing with me. Do they start to find themselves, and do they get better? I thought Virginia Tech's defense was really good. Then I watched them against Vanderbilt, and I thought otherwise. Like, I'm leaning Vanderbilt in this football game because – I think Vanderbilt has the physicality. Like, when I watch Vandy, dude, like, you've got to defend so many different forms of option. And Pavia might pitch that puppy and go block like last week, too.
Yeah.
And if you don't like that cat, you don't like human beings that like to compete. I mean, he's just – he's one of one, man. Like, he's been doubted. He's been hated on. If you watch Any Given Saturday, it was so fun to watch his personality and how he makes the guys better. But I'm definitely leaning Vanderbilt. I liked what I saw also from their defense in the second half against Virginia Tech because they made Virginia Tech's offense look good early, and then they did a really good job adjusting, playing more physical, tackling better. I think Vanderbilt, man, I didn't have a high hopes for Vanderbilt to continue their success this year, but that was pretty impressive what I saw last week.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can actually get you paid. So don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. We're putting out our lineups every single weekend, so make sure you're following us on social. It is a fantastic product. Prize Picks makes daily fantasy simple. Just select more or less on a 2-6 player projection to build your lineup. And when your picks hit, you have the opportunity to win up to 2,000 times your money. It's available in over 40 states, and Prize Picks puts members first with fast, secure withdrawals through Venmo, Apple Pay, and MasterCard. You can trust them. Their innovative flex play even lets you cash out and double your money if one pick doesn't hit perfectly. So turn your sports knowledge into real money in under 60 seconds on Prize Picks, trusted skill-based fantasy platform that millions of users rely on to add to the excitement of the season. We've won a bunch of money. We can go through the litany of times, regardless of what sport it's in. You can check the receipts on that one on social media. So download the app today and use our code Booster to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code Booster to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. With Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
Dude, Diego Pavia is the Saul Goodman of college football. Like, you just doubt him, you hate on him, then he gets in the courtroom and just destroys, like, the lawyer who went to Harvard. It's just, but Blaine, the spread on this game is what, 6.5?
Well, no, well, right now what I'm seeing, and I'm going off FanDuel Sportsbook, this spread started at 8.5, right? Right now it's sitting at 4.5.
God!
4.5, ooh. Vanderbilt. The money line for Vandy's plus 158 in the over-under is at 48.5, and the money's laying the under. And I've said this before, Diego Pavia is the greatest threat to world peace.
He is.
Blaine
says that Vanderbilt's a terrorist organization.
Yeah, I mean, right now football. He's somewhere in a cave filming a video.
Yeah, you know? it's like you think you got him beat, and you find that
I'm
into the mountain.
I tweeted this out earlier in the week when this spread came out. I was like, I love Vanderbilt plus 7.5. I think it's one of the best bets on the board, and I'm picking Vanderbilt to win this football game.
Wow. Okay.
I think they're a better and more complete team, and as good as Nick Harbor has looked, he's still got a lot of track guy in him. Like, from a hand.
I don't know. I thought he got in and out of breaks pretty good.
Yeah, but he's still, like, catching is still a problem.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Well, all right, but, I mean,
you got a score?
If you're that big, yeah, I'm going to go 48.5. Give me 24-21 Vandy.
Wow, that'd be huge. Doing? Cone, I mean.
What are you doing over there?
To Pollock's point, it's not just the physicality with Vandy. I'm watching these cats go out here and make one-handed catches and stuff. Like, it's like everything. It's not old Vandy where just God has to smile on the field for you to have a chance in the third quarter. They can just go out and beat you playing a B-plus game if they do it, and that's credit to Clark Lee. Having said all that, I still don't. Vandy sneaking up on people is done. I think Shane Beamer does a hell of a job of adjusting throughout the season. I just think one team has Lenora Sellers and the other one does. Much as I love Pavia, I'm going to go South Carolina, but Pavia by a field
loves
goal.
That. Give Pavia good. More of that. Yeah.
That's fine. I've got South Carolina 30-27. South Carolina 30-27.
Wow.
I think it's gonna be tight. I think South Carolina finds a way.
Everybody wants to talk about Georgia, Tennessee, Diego Pavia versus Dylan Stewart. Cinema.
Yeah,
first off, how cool is it?
Cinema. Is Pavia the most exciting player matchup in college football? Seriously.
I mean.
Yeah, he's a gamer.
You got to be honest.
You can make an argument because he looks like one of us out there. Like when you look at him get off the bus, you're like, oh, that's the Amazon driver that shows up at my house every Thursday and my wife can't get off the phone to order and stuff. No, it's the quarterback of a top 25, should be a top 25 team.
I love that we're this excited about this game.
I know. I
mean, that's awesome in and of itself, but I'm conflicted because I'm aligned with David Pollack here. I said all offseason, sell the stock now. Sell the Vandy stock now while you still can because it's only going to go lower. And this kid, all he does is back up all the trash talking that he does.
He does.
He just gets on the football field and backs it up. My gut is telling me that Vanderbilt wins the football game, but I'm not turning my back on Shane Beamer and the South Carolina Gamecocks yet. 24-23, one-point walk-off victory, Shane.
Wow.
You hear that?
That's one of the hardest places in the country to play.
It is.
That place is awesome. Like, so that will definitely impact the football game. So it's going to be it's must-see TV when you're talking about Vanderbilt and South Carolina. Football freaking rocks.
It's the best. This year's crazy. We're talking about buying Vandy stock and selling Bama stock.
I know. It's insane.
What is going on?
Yeah, as far as the trash talk goes, Diego Pavia talks so Thomas Castellanos could run. Moving on here, another huge one. And for Notre Dame, I think the season's on the line in this one. Because I look at the rest of that schedule. Not that it's easier you play nobody, but you start off 0-2. If you lose to A&M, I don't think you're making the college football play. I think a 9-3 Texas gets in over a 10-2 Notre Dame if Notre Dame were to win out. I think one of the best bets on the board, Blaine, the line in this game and the over-under. The last time I saw the over-under, it was up to 49.5. You would think you would take the under when you see these two teams, but I don't think so. I think this is a high-scoring game. I don't know how good A&M is on defense, to be honest. After watching them the first 2 weeks on third down, I'm not sold on them. And then Notre Dame, I don't think you got the pass rush to be able to sit there and play man the whole time against an offensive line that's worth its salt. We watched Miami run the same combo double snag off the bluff mesh
on
third down for two huge plays. I've got A&M going into Notre Dame. And if C.J. Carr has more carries than Jeremiah Love again, I may turn into the Joker of college football. I've got A&M going in there and winning a high-scoring game. Give me A&M 42-38. I think it's up there.
God.
I'm going A&M
42-38.
Nobody
stops anybody.
I think we're going to get scored. Marcel Reed, why is nobody talking about him in the offseason? Nobody was talking about him. He can do it. He can spin it. I don't care what anybody says. But that's David Pollack, what do you think, A&M Notre Dame?
Okay, so if you're watching, like preseason, I said that I made this comment and people looked at me kind of crazy and I got a lot of flack, but I was like, Casey Concepcion reminds me of Percy Harvin.
He's nasty.
I know that's extremely high praise, but like he's so good with the football in his hands and he's already returned a punt and he's already got four touchdowns in two games. And the offense now is perfectly built around Marcel Reed. That's why you're believing in A&M. Like, they're going to throw the perimeter game at nauseam to him and Mario, and they're so good with the ball. Then they're going to pump it, and they're going to throw deep, right? Yeah. Like, and they're going to make your – and then they're going to run the ball with Moss and be an extremely big offensive line and physical. I think this is a great game. I have question marks and concern about Notre Dame's offensive line. Did you see Miami? They're still in the back.
Killed them.
Like, they're still beating their tackles. Specifically on the right side, got beat a lot. Actually, I mean, both left side, they both got beat too much. I'm leaning A&M. And if you're not watching Cassius Howell from A&M, the dude is so much fun to watch. The variance with the pass rush, like he's an absolute terror coming off the edge. So kind of that guy that can make a game-changing play for A&M and bring A&M the dub. But I'm leaning A&M as well.
Cone, it's funny. The more it's a great point Pollack brings up. The more you watch A&M's offense, You know what it's starting to look like a version of? Obviously not the exact same thing. It's starting to look like what Heupel wants to do. Mm. Like it's really starting to look like that with the way they attack the perimeter, then hit your go stalk and go, but you're still a downhill run team, and that's Colin Klein's, a former dual threat quarterback. A&M needs this one.
Yeah. Right?
This is why you brought in Mike Elko, to win games like this that you couldn't in the past, to be able to take that next step in the postseason.
Well, the great thing for us is we get to find out about Notre Dame right now. We don't have to wait 5 weeks against FCS opponents
for sure,
before they play someone else to see, like, oh, what really happened against Miami? This opening two-game stretch is really the best in the country for Notre Dame, and they have that bye week in between, okay? Yeah. So I'm going to take the gamble that Miami is legitimately good and that they caused a lot of those problems for Notre Dame. Why we're throwing 20 bubble screens and not giving the football to one of the best running backs in the country, I don't know. But again, we get to find out, is that who they are and that problem rears its head again this Saturday, or are they able to solve those problems? I'll take the home team, Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Give me 30-26. Something weird happens in this one.
All right, so you're leaning A&M. DP, did you gave your score? You said what?
I did not.
Yeah, all right, go ahead and give your score. A&M, Notre Dame. What do you think?
Yeah, quickly, the spread came out at 6.5, and it's still laying right now at 6.5. Money leading Notre Dame, and the over/under.
You
is
should
exactly
sing it to
said.
Us, Backstreet Boy.
Yeah,
I will. Over 49.
No, please stop. God, please. That's, please. That hasn't changed right now.
Every time Blaine sings, an insane person is born.
Yeah, A&M, money lines plus 205. I'm going to take Texas A&M this game. I think C.J. Carr played well. This game is at Notre Dame. But I think Marcel Reed in this offense is going to be too much. Give me 30-27 A&M.
Okay. All right, Mix. So this one, we decided to put this one on here, D, because we just really want to know what you think about Alabama and can they turn it around. Wisconsin's coming limping in here to Tuscaloosa. It's going to be Danny O'Neill, right? That's going to be the guy at quarterback for Wisconsin this week, at least from what I've heard, unless there's been some sort of update that I haven't seen. It's a 20.5 point spread still, yep, or has it gone up?
I see it at 21.5.
21.5, so I said get it at 20.5. Boys football season is here. The tailgating is elite. The grilling is at a level that it doesn't get to at any other point in the year. Sure, I don't care what anybody says. That's why you need to make sure you have quality meat. And with Good Ranchers, it's 100% American meat from local farms and ranches delivered straight to your door. The amount of steak, chicken, everything pretty much imaginable you could think you put on a grill, we've used from Good Ranchers. And when you subscribe to any Good Ranchers box today and you use code Booster, that's B-O-O-S-T-E-R, you get your pick of free meat for life. That's right. It's free meat for life, not just your first box. So hit up goodranchers.com, use code Booster for $40 off plus free meat for life. I mean, heck, we're going to make some tacos this weekend.
Ground beef tacos?
Actually going to go steak.
Gonna really?
Steak up, cut it
we've
up.
We've been going ground beef tacos with Good
Ranchers. Again, you can't. It's impossible to miss when you use Good Ranchers. I actually made some wings. The wings Blaine made.
Yeah.
The spicy barbecue ones were really, really good. So head over to goodranchers.com. Make sure you use that code Booster for that $40 off and free meat for life. Good Ranchers, welcome to the table. I mean, look, we can sit here and pick this game. I think we're all going to pick Bama.
The question is, how are you feeling about your national championship Alabama Crimson Tide? I mean, did you suck that stock?
I'm riding with them. But DP, you got to understand, and we're honest with the audience, we're all fans of somebody. When it comes to, it's hard for me to feel bad for Alabama. Like it's border, even when I pick them to win it, it's almost sociopathic in the amount of non-feeling that I have. The reason is because my wife gets upset. Like it's not a fun house for me when Alabama loses. So I still think they have the athletes to be able to turn it around, but the problems we saw against Florida State, and that's what I wanted to ask you, is there anything Bama can do against Wisconsin that would flip the narrative? I mean, I'm not talking about people that are just huge Alabama fans that are going to sunshine pump anyway, but I don't think there is. I think you could beat them by 80, but until you play Georgia, you're not going to be able to flip the narrative. I got Alabama covering. I think 20.5 is a great bet, but I just want to ask you, do you think they can turn this around?
I like that's the hard part, because last week you're like, oh, I love the energy, I love the passion, I love the response, but you also played Booger Eaters, so that's hard. Like it's hard to judge the difference between that. There's so much more talented than who they played, right? Like, so I don't know how good Alabama is. Ryan Williams is a problem. What's going on? Like, this is a guy that is one of the most exciting guys in all of college football. And if he's not that guy, no, they're not coming back to that. Cause I don't see enough dynamic in their offense. I don't see enough great up front. Like, Ryan Williams has to be Ryan Williams. And that's the only thing that's going to show me that is him coming back. Like, you do realize last year after his tear And he went on a massive tear to start the season. He had 400 yards like the last eight games.
Disappeared.
You know, something like that and didn't have a 100-yard game. His talent is way too high for that. Yeah. We blame Jalen Milroe. Well, now you got Ty Simpson. He's still not performing. So I got to see Ryan Williams go to an elite level, a superstar level, if I'm going to put Bama even close to considering that to them in that altitude. That's got to happen for me, bro. Yeah.
Coney, you're wearing a vest. You're a smart guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
driving the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Actually, it's like the Ford Ranch version of the Millennium Falcon. You live also in a house with a Bama fan as a wife who takes it very seriously. How are the vibes? Are you?
Oh, I've been, you know, good to see Kalen DeBoer yelling a little bit more last weekend. But still, like I said, you can't make up for what has happened over one game. Like, a pattern has emerged. It wasn't just like you lost to Florida State and Doak Campbell on the road. You lost to Vanderbilt last year. You lost to a 7-5 Michigan team. You didn't make the college football playoff, even though it tripled in size. A pattern has emerged, and that has been recognized in our household. It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, it's and she understands. She's like, why don't you root for the team I love? I'm like, you grew up like in the state. How do you not understand that? But I mean, Blaine, quickly. Bama.
Yeah, Bama's still sitting. Am I selling?
Yeah.
Like Alabama?
Are you selling?
Compared to what? Yes. Like, what not? First of all, you know, ULM, we love you on the show, Coach V. Shout out. Absolutely. I said take the spread. They're going to beat them by 1,000.
Yeah.
And like, there's nothing you can do this week against Wisconsin. Yeah. I don't care if you win 120-3.
Yeah.
And the spread is still sitting at 20.5, Bama over under 46.5. I'm going Bama 34-7.
I like Bama in the over because I think Bama's going to get it by themselves. All right, moving on. Let's go to the ACC here, DP. Clemson at Georgia Tech.
Yes.
This is another verify game because, again, we talk about Vandy, Georgia Tech. We know what they're going to do. There is no secret or surprise in what Brent Key and this team wants to do. You know, again, I would have told you going into the year, this is a close my eyes. I'm taking Clemson regardless. What's the spread on this one?
Right now it's sitting 3.5.
That's what I saw.
Clemson minus 3.5.
And I saw this game at minus 9.5. I've seen it at minus 6.5 starting out, and it's gotten all the way down to 3.5. And right now, the money's laying Georgia Tech plus.
Well, if it's 3.5, yeah. Right,
Georgia
Tech
money lines plus 134. With the over-under at 53.5.
I actually like Clemson in this one. I think Clemson comes back and plays pretty well. They return so much production. It's just hard for me to believe that you would put out that type of product 3 weeks in a row. Coney, I want to start with you. I'm going to take Clemson in this one. I'm going to take Clemson. Give me 31-24. I mean, am I crazy for Clemson?
31's like four games for Clemson so far.
I know, but I just eventually, can you run the ball? Like, at some point, Clemson's got to be able to establish a run.
You're not crazy, but I'll take Georgia Tech in this game. No. I mean, I'll take Haynes King running Q counter 30 times a game. And like, look, should they have beaten Colorado by more points than they did? Possibly, but the resiliency that they showed down the stretch to even win that football game on the road, and now they're going to get Clemson at home. Look, I have Clemson in the national championship, so if they bounce back and they turn into what we thought they were, great. That's great. But until I see it, I'm going to take a team that I know can fight and has some dog in them. Brent Key sets the tone. Haynes King sets the tone. Give me the Yellow Jackets at home.
Pollock, of all the teams that we had very high hopes for, Florida, some people had high hopes, some didn't with that schedule. But with Clemson, at the end of the day, they've been the biggest disappointment.
So I had high expectations for them, obviously. I think here's what's going on with Clemson to me. I think losing Antonio Williams to start the season, I think they lost their go-to guy, their move guy that can play anywhere, and Klubnik's best guy. His field guy, his 11 touchdown guy, his guy that is going to make plays for him and who they want to manufacture stuff. Wesco last week started getting it going a little bit. So maybe that connection continues to grow and the offense grows. Here's what you got to be worried about. Two things with Georgia Tech. One, Haynes King didn't play last week because he's banged up. And he's going to be banged up because he runs the football like a grown man every time he touches it. And I love it. I'm here for it. But there's a bunch of grown men on that defense for Clemson, and you don't want to run at them the whole game. That will be a bad recipe. Another thing about Georgia Tech, last year, they did not turn the football over. First three possessions of Colorado, they turn it over. Ugh. First two possessions last week, they turn it over. Too many mistakes for Georgia Tech. I'm not accustomed to seeing that. Like, I'll take Clemson. It's amazing how many of these spreads, by the way, and Blaine, you're going to get there. But like they keep coming down. Like there's so many that start high and they're soaring down. And I think it shows you like there's just the disappointment level with so many teams early in the season. That's like, wait a minute, I ain't seen that. I'm not buying that. But you know, that third week, the second game is supposed to be when you start to click. And then by the third week, you're really knowing who you are. So there's a lot of proving it. And Clemson's got as much to prove this week as anybody in the country.
Blaine, I know Dabo is not running down the hill this week, but you think they're running down Atlanta getting a dub?
I do. And I will say this quickly. I don't know if y'all saw that video, but there was a video of Clemson on campus. All their fraternities had like welcoming like an autistic kid to their
– where are you
tell me if
with
I'm
this?
Wrong, but I thought like – into the fraternity, and the video is fantastic. If you don't get a chance, go watch that. It's just one of the coolest things you can watch. I'm taking Clemson in this game. I think Georgia Tech, I think this will be a field goal football game, but sooner or later, Cade Klubnik and them have to figure it out. It's going to be close. Give me, I feel like this is going to be high scoring as well. Give me maybe 31-30 Clemson, something like that.
All right, we got a couple more here, DP, then we're going to let you ride. I didn't think we'd be picking this game this week, to be honest with you. But how can we not? South Florida, 2-0. Look at the resume. Check the Carfax. It's clean, dog. You beat Boise State. Then you go to the swamp, walk in the trap, take over the trap. They may run the whole state of Florida if they can win this weekend. What's the spread quickly on this one?
Right now it is plus exactly what the Florida one was.
17.5?
Plus 17.5. Money line South Florida. Over under 56.5. South Florida money line is plus 530.
Yeah, this is a Dylan's drum set situation for me. Not touching. Because I thought, man, and I didn't end up going with it, but I thought the spread for Florida last week, the best bet was the TTP for South Florida under 20.5, and it hit. But they won. I think Miami's a lot better than Florida. I think Miami's offensive line may be the best in the country. Give me Miami, who's obviously not taking South Florida lightly. After what happened last week, I like Miami. Give me, I know the defense for South Florida has been playing good, but give me Miami. Give me 34-17. So not a cover there on the 17.5. I think Miami rolls in this one. And I need it because I got UNLV as a group of five rep, DP.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
Listen, you said Miami, and you said you thought that they had the best offensive line. What about their defensive line, bro?
Dude,
I mean, that defensive line is fantastic. Like, Mezador, four coming off the edge on the other side. I mean, he's thicker than a Snickers at defensive end and just a baller, like absolute baller. I think the defensive line is going to cause a lot of power problems. But I talked about one thing going into last week that I thought could help USF beat Florida. Byron Brown. Like, he is a big physical quarterback for USF that breaks tackles, that makes things happen. They play that spread style offense. They spread you out. When they spread you out, it puts more of a premium on the defensive line and offensive line. Miami's got that advantage. Like, for I sure. like Miami in this game. Carson Beck's playing great, not turning it over, just set the record last game for most completions in a row, passing, you know, Vinny Testaverde. He's balling. He's taking care of the football. They're protecting him. That defensive line and company is really, really dirty. I put Miami in the playoff before the season, and I'm feeling pretty good about it a couple weeks into the season.
Coney, Miami looks complete as you can through 2 weeks. The South Florida, could Golish pull off the trifecta and just leave town and blow up the city?
No, but could he keep it close enough that they're still in the hunt for the college football playoff?
That's
a legit question. My score is 34-13, Miami.
Okay, so about the same. All right, Blaine, what do you got?
Look, the South Florida story has been fantastic, but I think Miami's about to kick their ass.
Okay. I appreciate your honesty.
I think Miami's a complete football team. I think you can make the argument for Miami being one of the best teams in the country. I think it's 41-17, Miami.
I think the ACC is going to get two in. Maybe even three, possibly, if it works out crazy. All right, here we go. The coup de grace. We've been saving this one for the end. DP, you obviously, Georgia's your alma mater.
I don't care. To be honest with you, I've watched them look okay against subpar competition ever since Kirby's been there. I watched them struggle with Kent State and then go beat three top five teams. I watched them struggle with Tennessee Tech and go on and win the national championship. I just think that's how they go about things there, love it or hate it. Tennessee's defensive line. Everybody's talking about the corners. I understand not having McCoy, who the Senior Bowl director told us is the number one overall graded player in the country on their list, which surprised me. Now your other corner's out, but it's the defensive line in the front seven. I'm trying to find a way in which Tennessee is able to stop Georgia on the ground to be able to not let them get taken advantage of on the outside if Gunnar Stockton has open wide receivers. I'm just not seeing it. The spread's what, Blaine?
Right now it is sitting at 4.5.
Georgia.
Plus 4.5. Tennessee, the money's laying -120 with the over-under of 49.5 and a money line going off for Tennessee at +149.
I think Tennessee comes out and fights early. I think it's close probably in the first quarter, a quarter and a half, but I think Georgia eventually, due to the line of scrimmage and the lack of front seven that Tennessee has, I like Georgia winning this game. I like Georgia winning it. Give me 30-23. I've got Georgia winning it by 7 on the road.
How about you, DP?
David Pollack, what say you?
Well, I understand what you're saying, and Tennessee's defense is not what it was last year. Last year, that defense carried them to the playoff, was elite. Elite of elite, rotated guys in and out. You're like, gosh dang, we're another 300-pounder that can kick somebody's ace. That's really fun to have. They're banged up on the defensive line, but Georgia's offensive line is beat to crap. I mean, you're talking about their right guard out, their right tackle out. They were on their third right tackle at one point in the last football game, so I mean, that's not a good thing either. And I'm curious to hear, you know, you guys, the rest of this. I'll give it back to you guys. I think Georgia's going to win. I think Georgia's – that's 8 in a row against Tennessee. They've had a lot of success. They defend Heupel really well. They defend the spread well. Georgia's defense is elite. I know that. I know their defense is really, really good. And I think this year they got three corners that can really cover, which is different from last year's squad. But Gunnar Stockton – the Gunnar Stockton I've seen so far this season is not the guy that I saw in the playoff. Like, I thought he was more decisive and faster with his reads and better. So, big-time atmosphere, going on the road, obviously one of the toughest places to play in the country. How does he play? And if they can't get the run game going with a beat-up offensive line, like, that's going to be a big deal. But I do trust Georgia and their history against Tennessee and their physicality, and specifically their defense that usually travels. Yeah.
Well, Coney, you know, Gunnar Stockton being able to run, I think, takes a little bit of pressure off some of the offensive line, just even from a pre-snap standpoint of what they're going to be able to get on the outside. And Zachariah Branch is a freak. But on the other side with Joey Aguilar, this is the first real test, right? Yeah. This is what it really looks like over here. You're not going to be able to go back there and just throw the ball up like you did last week and Mikey Matthews come down and catch it, or against Syracuse where you got a lot of those guys beat at birth. We're going to find, if you're a Tennessee fan, though, you want to find out about Joey Aguilar.
For sure, like, you're going to find out. On the Gunnar Stockton running point, if those are zone schemes and not just called quarterback runs, then you're still having to read those.
For sure.
And to David Pollack's point on not being decisive, you can make a bad read in zone run scheme just like you can about delivering the football downfield, which that doesn't help your confidence. Maybe some of these need to be called runs so that can help open up the passing game for him. But David Pollack hit on an important point that I want to hit on, which is Kirby Smart has built up such a trust factor with me personally against most teams in the country, but particularly against Tennessee. That's why I'm going to take Georgia in this game, but I think Tennessee is going to give them hell for
four. Oh, they're going to fight
in
their
Neyland,
ass off now.
Joey Aguilar has stepped into this role beautifully. Gunnar Stockton on the other side, young guy coming into a raucous environment. I got 24-24 at the end of regulation.
Wow.
Georgia kicks a walk-off field goal to win it.
I love it.
Everyone's taking Georgia, huh?
All right, what are you going, Blonde?
Look, Joey Aguilar versus Gunnar Stockton, Kirby Smart versus Josh Heupel at Neyland Stadium. And I've always made the mistake, well, not always, but the one time I made the mistake picking Georgia, and not picking against Georgia, that was against Oregon, 54-59-3. So I'm about to
make, they murdered
I'm about
Dan,
to make the
bro.
Same mistake again.
Yeah.
And the Tennessee Vols, I think Joey Aguilar is going to be the difference in this game. I'm
really
worried about Georgia a little bit, especially on the offensive line. I mean, you had to throw it 34 times against Austin Peay. Like, that's not a great recipe on how Georgia is going to win. I think Tennessee can hit big plays, and against a Georgia team, you're not going to be able to nickel and dime your way down there. So give me Tennessee 27
Georgia 24.
Sing either, Rocky Top.
You either die a hero or live long enough to become
a hero. Come on, Vols.
Isn't that true? All right. David Pollack, one of the best in the biz, man. Appreciate you hopping on with us. Tell everybody where they can find you. If you like our show, you are going to love David Pollack's show. Make sure you tell the people where they can find a DP because it's great stuff. You're like one of the three people I'll listen to that's not us.
Sweet. Well, I appreciate that. I like you guys, too. I've always been on your show for a number of years.
I appreciate
you guys. But no, it's See Ball, Get Ball. And we're on YouTube like 4 nights a week, you know, at 8:30 a lot of the times at night. And then we're on all the channels, all the Spotify's, all the Apple, all that stuff, several days a week for the podcasting, man. Just the greatest sport on the planet, bro. Like this is what we do. We get to talk about it. We get to be entertained with it every single week and tell our wives like we're working, right? Like we said last time, like we're working on the couch, baby doll. I got to watch.
Yeah, I'm paying the mortgage. That's what's going on. That's why I'm watching it. But DP, that conversation always ends up well for me. As some those who are married can imagine. But DP, I appreciate you, buddy. You're the best. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you keep subscribing. Got a ton of content. Go check out our individual game previews and like the chances of me not wanting college football tonight. Now, going. Oh, God, I'm getting good at that. Gone. That's clean.